In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The disciples, they were beginning to bear responsibility for the ministry of Jesus Christ. And they had compassion upon the people that they served. You know, one of the things about church is this, and it's a very delicate balance. When people come to church, we embrace them. But embracing them is not enough, because if they want to be one with us, they must be in communion with us. And to have communion with us, they must be in agreement with the rules. So we could have, for example, some very terrible street people come in, right? We must welcome them. But then we do not compromise that which we have been given to hold and to keep and to pass on to the next generation. We keep our principles and our rules intact. And if they really want to be one with us, and we are welcoming them to be so, then they must embrace also the totality of the responsibility that we have embraced. There are things that we do. One might object, well, why do I have to fast? One might object, why do I have to confess before a man? Why do I have to do this or do that? Are you reaching into my pocket to get 10%? Why are you? Because we all do that. And if you wish to have more than just a kind introduction, if you want to have a real family, then you must do and you must conform to the whole family set of rules. And there, of course, is the rub, because there are people that object. There are people who are closet thieves. You don't tell who they are. You look at them and they look just like you. There was a pretty famous man, I'm not going to say what state he was in, but he was with some of the fathers, and this man happens to be an obstetrician. He delivered many, many babies. And in a conversation with some priests, this man said, "You don't really expect me to believe that after delivering Jesus Christ, St. Mary was still a virgin." He is a thief. He has entered into a relationship with us, but he is withholding a part of himself. You may not want to believe in the miraculous or the metaphysical. Are you telling me that Jesus could walk on water? Look what we have here. 5 loaves and 2 fish suddenly multiplied to feed 5,000 men, plus women and children, plus have the disciples take an entire basket for themselves. Now, that's just ridiculous. That's meant to mean that it was such a loving experience, and the blessing that flowed from Jesus, everybody felt warm and cuddly. And that's what it's meant to convey. No, it is not. It is meant to convey that 5 loaves and 2 fish in the hands of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ became miraculously filling, not just in a spiritual way, but in a material way. So therefore, how it happened, the agency by which it occurred, I cannot speak more about than what the scripture itself says. 5 loaves, 2 fish fed the multitude. Once, More than once, we have this story. And it is a report from an eyewitness. Now, church is for embracing. Everybody in this church is not worthy to be in this church. Not one of you is worthy to be in this church. Me first. Okay? You don't get to be in this church because you're Egyptian. You know, you don't get to be in this church because you're any particular thing. Except that you love the Lord, that you acknowledge the Lord, that you witness to the Lord, through your response to his style of living, his mode and his character, that you become little Christs like Christians, that you accept the rules of orthodoxy and you believe that there is a way to think about the Lord and about the scripture that he has left us to guide us. Now you are worthy. Now you are worthy. But you still must go through some steps. You must, if you're an adult, you must confess. Then you must be baptized. Then you must be chrismated. Then you must be communed. All right? So there's the embrace. There's the warm embrace. Brother, sister, I'm glad to make your acquaintance. I want to be with you. But I can't fully give myself to you or accept your person fully until we are in agreement. And this is a very important thing. You know, the disciples, they started to feel this way about the people. They wanted to embrace them. They wanted to preach. They wanted, of course, nobody is going to preach in the presence of the Lord. It's like nobody of the bishops stands up and corrects Pope Abba Tuadros. When the big one is speaking, the little ones, they're in the shadows. And this is the way it always should be. It should be this way in your home. There should be a hierarchy of voices, right? And it should be one voice at a time, not a cacophony of everybody trying to thrust their opinion forward. There should be some kind of discipline in how we, even if we feel very strongly about something, we wait until one person is finished with their thought before we interject our own opinions. Some people are thinking about the defensive response they're going to make to something that was claimed by another because it impinged upon what they felt was their right, and so immediately they want to come forth and say, no, well, you have to wait. Anyway, this sense that the disciples said, send the multitude away, came from this great spirit of love. And you know, in this crowd, it wasn't all people, you know, who were believers. Some people were just curious. You know, I know people that would travel to hear a great speaker. They would travel a great distance just to hear someone speak. I got a telephone call last week that said I could be on a national conversation with Newt Gingrich, and he's going to be talking about Donald Trump and some other things. Well, I'm a conservative Republican, and so is Newt Gingrich, and so is Donald J. Trump, but I didn't waste my time doing that. So I politely declined. I don't even know how they got my number. But that's not the point. The point is, some people go, oh, Newt Gingrich? I can actually say something to Newt Gingrich? There were those kind of people that followed Jesus. I want to say something to him. He has these opinions. I want him to hear mine. Because, you know, my opinion is worth exactly the same thing as his is. They didn't know who Jesus was whatsoever. But the disciples did. And they wanted the people that were there to embrace Jesus as they knew him, as they were capable of embracing him. And of course, even the disciples at that time, they couldn't embrace him fully. It wasn't possible. Their faith was growing. Now, beyond the fact, and this is the most spare narrative about the five loaves and the two fish, this one from Luke. But it's important that you know that all of the fathers, when they look at this symbolically, they see the five loaves and two fishes as something, right? The five loaves, in this case, are the Pentateuch, the books of Moses. These are the five loaves. The two fish are the apostles, Peter and Paul. This is how it is seen. So you have to have a foundation for your faith. You have to have a period of catechism. And what is going to teach you? Well, at this time, it was the words of Moses and the five books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And it's not something that in our lives we look at as mere history, something that we turn our back on, even though most of what was a law for the Jews in terms of daily function no longer is that for us. But there's great value in learning about the underpinning and philosophy of what created those laws, and that's for us to embrace. Further, the preaching of Peter and Paul was in this symbol of five loaves and two fish to be the culmination of bringing people out from one into another. Now, I spoke about this when I was a young priest, and I hadn't at that time read the fathers that cited this symbolic meaning. And I looked at the five and the two, and I came up with the grand old number seven. And, you know, seven for me is not just days of the week, it's the mysteries of the church. And I thought, well, you know, and remember, I was a bodybuilder for so many years. So if you're going to give me a choice between fish and loaves, I'm the fish guy all day long. I want the protein. So what's the protein? This is a terrible analogy, and I apologize to everybody who's listening. It's a terrible analogy, but the two fish, the first and the most important thing for an adult is confession. And what is confession? It's not the litany of things that you've done wrong. The confession is, as we say, Jesus Christ confessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. He was not confessing sins, was he? He's sinless. So what is he confessing? He's confessing the faith. What is the confession? Truly I believe. Konun aleman. Amen. Right? Lousy pronunciation, but you get it. It's the faith. So the confession is the first one. There were some people that were watching a saint being martyred. And the only thing in this moment of ecstasy that the person who was a bystander could say was, I believe on the God of St. George, or I believe on the God of St. Wathamina, or I believe on the God of, didn't even know the name, but saw, which in Latin is auto de fe, this act of faith, saw this thing that was so incredible that they said, it has to be the real God, because nobody's going to do this for Jupiter or Mars. But who is the name? Who is the name? I don't know. It wasn't even the case that Demas, the good thief on the cross, knew the name of Christ. He just said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He didn't say Jesus. He didn't say Christ. He said, Lord. Lord. And it was a generic Lord. It wasn't a capital L Lord. It was Lord like, this is the Lord that is the ruler. But he understood him to be ruler over all. And Jesus knew this. More importantly, Jesus knew this. So confession is the first fish, and the second fish then, after that, is to be baptized, to die with Christ. Because baptism is like a small death. It's a small death. And many, you know, were baptized in their own blood. Many. The martyrs would confess that Jesus was Lord, and some headsman would, you know, sharpen his sword one more time and chop off another guy's head. So the point is that you first have confession, and then you have baptism. These are the two most important mysteries in the church. The rest of them come if you live. If you live past these two things, then you're chrismated, and then you are allowed to commune. But the first is confession, the second. And I didn't receive too many hearty objections. It was one of the first times I spoke in Hayward at the Church of St. Antonius. I was replacing Abuna Mityas Farid. And so we look at these things for our benefit, but not from the sense of dogmatic theology. This is something that is kind of a nice meditation, but not more than that. It is not the same. It is not the same as theological fact. That's why I say it's symbolic. So the five loaves and the two fish, the five loaves, the Pentateuch, the books of Moses, and the two fish, St. Peter and St. Paul. And you have the evocation of the disciples who were first feeling this sense of the responsibility of ministry. Please, Lord, send them away. It's getting late. By this time, they are really hungry. Right? There are other things that we can go into, but this is enough for today. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.